Take another breath. And part of our transformation is being able to hear from teachers, from channels, from people that hold specific wisdom as they help us awaken our own. And they always bring messages of benevolence and love and honoring of the human. And that is what we close our day with these beautiful, loving messages from Adiranda and Kryon.
So it is good day to you again, right here in Indianapolis, one last time. Dearest beings of light, we are in love with you. We see you here all day, yesterday, coming to us, and maybe tomorrow, maybe last night with the sisterhood, maybe tonight with the despacho. Oh, and you're striving for something that somehow you feel is beyond you. And yet what you are receiving is little tips, little encodements all the way through this weekend. And those encodements are bringing you to the next dimensional frequency. That is you. As we said earlier, that Walt Disney called on 300 banks before he ever got someone to see his vision. Dearest beings of light, we see your vision. We see that you are indeed striving to raise above the muck and the mire and the stuff that you see on the news every day and the political aspect, all of that energy. That you are striving to hold the high watch. Now, the question becomes, how in the world do you do that with all of the muck and the mire covering up your eyeballs and in that energy? That is the question, eh? You return to the basics that is in your heart. Return to the connection that is in your frequency. Return to the status that is you. Who are you? Our dear friend Greg Braden does a whole talk about who are you? Can you define that? When you leave today, or maybe tomorrow, if you join us tomorrow, we want you to sit with that question. Who are you? And just sit and make a list of all of the ways that you can define yourself. You are a mother, you are a father, you are a friend, you are a lover, you are a worker, you are a healthcare worker, but that is what you do. That is your task. Who are you? Are you an instigator of change? Are you a status quo destabilizer? Are you a pathfinder? Are you a creative solution finder extraordinaire? Are you a sofa sitter? Are you an action taker? Are you inspiration? That is what we want you to make a list upon. How do you see yourself and who you are? You have thousands, millions maybe of years to accommodate your ancestral lineage. And each one, each level, gave you another little gift to accommodate. And then when you throw the galactics in there, that gives you other gifts as well. It all makes up you. And that you is spectacular. We know that right now there's all sorts of things going on here, all sorts of things going on everywhere. But we believe that you first have to understand who you are in the total scheme of things so you can be that change that you wish to see in this world. I was on Marilyn. Talked to a fellow, he's somewhere in his 40s, and he's been depressed and angry and upset and doesn't know where to turn. And she said, "What is it that you love?" "I don't know, I don't love anything." He said, "There's the problem. Find the good in everything. And then the love of what you are will come closer. Catch yourself being positive. What would happen if you thought, well, that was a good moment. I like that. Let's expand that moment into a full day. And let's expand that full day of good moments into a full week. And then a full month and then a full year. That is that energy that you are creating right now. And we know sometimes it is like slogging through the muck and the mire, ready to pivot in any direction, not knowing which direction is your best direction. Well, any direction is your best direction. For you see, when you return to the basics, sitting in the stillness, even if that stillness is for a few moments in your job, and you ask for guidance, ego-free, ask for guidance. You will receive it. So Marilyn has been doing this for 30 years or more. She asked for guidance about a subject and it came through in her automatic writing. Yes, she still does guided writing. Because that is that divine connection. We teach that tomorrow. You see, when you ask Source, the universe, spirit, God, whatever you call that energy that is in every cell of your body and every cell outside of your body, show me the way. They do. And if you're not sure, start singing the song. Show me the way, show me the way. Because you are creating what you are stepping around and walking around in every part of your world. You are creating that. And for many it is like, well, why would I in the world would I create a health ailment or an inability to breathe or a broken bone or whatever? We do not know. No one knows but you. And that is indeed why we have asked you to go back to the basics. Sit in the stillness. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Because how can you appreciate or have compassion for anyone else. If you don't have compassion and appreciation for yourself, that is what the Master said. Love yourself, and then you will love others. That is the key, to see the good within you, to see the acknowledgement of that power place within you. And then breathe into it, give it life, and be willing to pivot in any direction, because that's where life will take you. And say, yes. Yes, I am worthy. Yes, I am magnificent. Yes, I am here. Yes, I do make a difference. Yes, I am. Yes, I am A. Yes, I am A. And you fill in the blank. Practice that. Make your list. Then you are the love that you are. Fulfilling your pure potentiality. We love you deeply. We see you. We know you. And we bid you namaste. Namaste.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. Most people listening to this don't understand that many times before I channel, there's one who channels before me. The energy of Adaranda, beautiful. The words dripping with love and truth. Because when you put the channelers together, dear ones, they give you much the same message. I would like to continue my message of joy. This is one that I have been giving now for 2 days. This is number 4 of 4. Finding joy in the midst of chaos. This particular channel is not instructive as much as energetic. For I want to give you the truth of joy, the real truth of joy. How is it seen by spirit, joy? How is it seen by humanity instinctively, joy? So I'm going to start with what you don't expect. I have given you information now for years that this planet wallows in old energy. And the whole reason I'm here is because that will change. That for eons, literally, humanity has been in a low consciousness state and never ever lifted itself out of it. Not really. It had peaceful times, but always turned into war yet again. There was never a coherence in humanity. There was always mistrust, mostly between those of different countries who didn't talk to one another, or even if they could, their leaders wouldn't let them. This is a low consciousness planet for so long, and now it begins to shift. But let's talk about joy, happiness, the intuitive attribute of smiling. My partner has been around the planet and has learned much. He was not prepared necessarily for the greetings he got in 2 countries. I will have it remain nameless. And in those countries, he was informed he smiled too much. And he he was taken aback by that, and he said, what do you mean? And they said, well, in our culture, smiling is not really something you should do because it means you're hiding something. You see, the one who smiles is a dishonest person, he was told. He didn't pay attention to that. He did it more just because that was his reaction to having that news. He was in one of these countries in a small restaurant, and a young person, barely 18 she was, bent down at his table and spoke quietly, and she said, I see the internet all the time, and it just seems like Americans, they smile all the time. Is it really true, sir? Because I know you're an American, I can see it. And my partner said to her, well, they don't smile all the time, but we do smile a lot. And he always remembered her reply. And she said, I'd like that to happen here. That's the young people starting to watch the internet, starting to watch the internet, starting to see so many things they never saw before and learning something they never knew before. Why is joy something that gets suppressed as a condition of control? And the reason is because joy is one of the primary God energies of the creative source. If not the primary one. From those in those countries, I would like to talk to their mothers. Say, when you have the child, and you come home with a child and you're so enamored with the child, what do you do? What's the first intuition you do? Do you bend down over the child and teach them to frown? And the answer is no. You poke them and you tickle them and you want them to smile, don't you? That is instinct. Every single mother knows this. You don't teach the child to be unhappy. That they will learn by themselves by watching you, if you so choose. But the first thing a mother does is to get that child to laugh. Because when the child laughs, your world lights up, and you know it. That's from the other side of the veil, dear ones. I want to give you an example of something. I want to walk you through something. Human beings are very linear, and you have no frame of reference other than your own. This is not an indictment of who you are. This is simply the way it is. There can be no other way. Your only reference you have is what you see and who you are. If you had another reality to come and go in, you'd be able to then quote it and talk about it, but you don't. You have that reality, which is you. In this linear reality that you experience, there's one human, one name, one face, that's you. You see it every day in the mirror. You don't think of yourself as being multiple, even though you are in a multidimensional form or way. You don't really look at yourself and see your soul, although you have one. You don't look at yourself and see the Creator, although you are part of it. Your reality is what you can see and touch and feel. You're told, by the way, that when you die, that soul of yours goes someplace and something happens, depending upon that which you believe. But how do you envision that? And I'll tell you. A human being sees themselves in their body representing their soul, then going to perhaps be judged or not, or to a party or not, but they see themselves as themselves in 3D, in their body, going perhaps to heaven. It's so interesting to hear some of the questions about heaven that the spiritualists have intercepted for years when humans will ask, what's heaven like? Can we see like we see? How can we see without eyes? You'll say. This is what the questions are. One of my favorites from my partner was, are there rocking chairs in heaven? Because the human who asked, just their favorite thing to do is to sit in the rocking chair and watch. And so you see, you put your own reality even on the esoteric things that are so grand from the Creator about where you might go when you die. But you put that in a human form, in a three-dimensional form. You see you as you and ask that question, how can I see without eyes? I have a metaphor for you. You'll understand it. Let's pretend you're a caterpillar. Let's pretend in this story that a caterpillar has a little higher consciousness than it does and can think like you do. Let's say that caterpillar is pondering the same questions you have. When it goes into the deep sleep, you know where I'm going with this. The caterpillar itself, as it exists today on Earth, barely sees at all. They can differentiate light from dark and see shapes, and that's about it. It's good enough for them because they don't know any different. That's their life. And the caterpillar is asking itself, when I go into that deep sleep, into that great beyond where I am told I will fly like a bird, how will I be able to see? Will I be able to see as good as I do now? I hope so. Same question you're asking. How can I see without eyes? What's going to be like to not have my body? And what can I see or feel? And what is it that will take place? And that caterpillar is asking that and starting to ponder it, maybe even worry about it. And then it goes into the deep sleep. It goes into the cocoon and magic takes place. There aren't many of these for you to look at, dear ones. That metamorphosis of that caterpillar is a miracle. When the caterpillar emerges as the butterfly and spreads its wings indeed to fly like a bird, let's look at the eyes. That caterpillar worried about the eyes. That butterfly has thousands of images that are clear. That butterfly can see ultraviolet light and polarized light. That butterfly can see the colors it needs to for the pollination of the flowers. It sees 100 times, 1,000 times better and differently than the caterpillar ever conceived sight would be. When you take your last breath, and a little time has passed, your soul goes into a metamorphosis. And I'll tell you, that soul of yours starts to fly. And you don't have eyeballs anymore. You have sight. You don't know what sight is. You have sight and the feelings and knowledge and awareness. You don't even know what those names are compared to what you will have. Because being a human on earth is so different from going home. It's a temporary hobbled condition that so many of you endure without joy, never understanding that joy is sacred, joy is from the Creator. That's what's in heaven, joy. And in your flying like a bird, you can not only see as you well thought you could as a human, but you can see light that you never saw before. All the spectrums. We sing your name in light. We cannot explain that which you become and who you are. Let me tell you the first thing that you feel. Oh, dear human, in linear form, you see yourself passing away. And you see yourself as a human being in linear form, perhaps walking a stairway, and you're going to meet somebody, perhaps at the pearly gates, as you're told, or whatever that, which is the metaphor of leaving and coming and meeting somebody from the other side for the first time. What's it like? I'll tell you what it's like, because that is going to be what you're going to remember. What it's like, the first thing you're going to meet and see and feel is joy. That's what I want to tell you. That is probably one of the largest, most profound truths I could give you. What's it like on the other side? Joyful. That is the essence of the creative source of the universe, of you, of your galaxy, that I am trying to pass on to you and tell you, when you find joy, you find everything. You find health. You find extension of life. You find beauty. You find reason for being alive. You find peace. And when this planet starts to become what it's going to be, you're going to look back and say, what made the difference? And I'll tell you, everybody could smile at everybody, and you wouldn't distrust anyone for doing it. This is the truth, dear ones, and it's why we talk so much about what we talk about. Bringing that which is from the other side of the veil to Earth is the theme. Because as the veil starts to lift and lessen and be more transparent, you're going to find not just an increase in integrity, but an increase in reason for being, laughter, happiness, and joy. I would not give you these things if it were not the truth. Feel it in your very essence. Because you have the ability to discern right now if I am giving you that which is true or not. It is built into you. It is part of you. Old soul, it's the lineage of why you're here today past 2012. To take the lid off of the old energy and escape into joy. I am Kryon, in love with humanity. And for good reason. And so it is.